It's time for the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health, a radio show where all viewpoints are respected. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Hello, Jacksonville and surrounding areas. Welcome to the Brandon Groover News Hour. I am joined by Doug Wilder, who is in traffic. And we also have AJ in the cut. What's up, AJ?
Hey, we're both in traffic on the radio.
Yes.
Luckily, we're here, and hopefully Doug will get here safely in just a couple.
I want to thank the people at the great JSO force that allowed me to do 100 miles per hour up I-95 to get here.
Okay.
Thank you, JSO, for your service.
We didn't notice.
Yes, they're great people. On today's show, we are going to complete our discussion on the need for real gun control. Because of the Second Amendment, it is impossible, really, to like this whole theory of wanting to do away with guns because of the Second Amendment. That's just a waste of time. But I do know that we need to do something because of all the massive, shootings. So the Democrats, their position is, they have a position, and the Republicans have a position that are totally at odds. In my opinion, America needs to allow universal background screenings, which are supported by 70% of NRA members and 92%. Oh, there's Doug. What's up, Doug?
Hey, how are you?
Good. 70% of NRA members support background checks, along with 92% of the general American public. And on the second segment, we're going to discuss racial disparities in America and what we can do as a country to fix it. And the main thing is we want to be able to address these issues without sacrificing our capitalist tradition and our democratic tradition. So, AJ, if you can run that first clip on the background check so we can dive into that.
Yeah, Chef, I'll tell you, yesterday's shooting barely changed the arguments that we heard from the pro and anti-gun activists today. Witnesses argued that too many guns in the hands of the bad guys are causing too many deaths, or they argued that too many deaths are happening because there are not enough guns in the hands of the good guys. Trauma surgeon Dr. Selwyn Rogers argued gun violence is a public health problem and should be dealt with that way.
At my hospital, we work to save people every day. Far too often, the bullets lead to death. We have a moment of silence to mourn the loss, knowing too well that we will soon hear screams of anguish.
He said we need to deal with the underlying causes of gun violence, like poverty and mental illness. But former Texas State Representative Susanna Hupp told of her experience in a mass shooting at a restaurant that claimed the lives of her parents.
I had a perfect place to prop my hand. I had a clear shot at the guy, but I was worried about losing my license instead of worrying about my life.
She blamed gun control laws that prevented her from carrying her gun into that restaurant. Now, at stake on Capitol Hill are two bills that passed the House earlier this month. One would expand background checks to people purchasing weapons over the internet and elsewhere. The other would allow 10 days, up from the 3 currently, for federal background checks to be completed. Now, both bills faced stiff Republican opposition in the House and very uncertain prospects in the Senate, where Democrats have a narrow margin of control. And even one of their own, Senator Joe Manchin, said he doesn't support them, Shep.
Amen. Does this move the needle at all on ending the filibuster and doing away with the 60-vote threshold?
Shep, I think it really deepens the emotions on both sides. Both the Democrats will say there's more urgency than ever to do away with the filibuster and pass these gun control laws. Republicans will say, hey, wait a minute. If they take away the filibuster, they're going to take away my guns. So as it stands, I think the president's call today to ban assault weapons isn't likely to be going anywhere with this Congress, Shep.
Oh, right, gang. If you have any input on this discussion, feel free to dial in at 904-831-0600. Once again, area code 904-831-0600. Even if the Democrats were to get rid of the filibuster, I don't believe the Supreme Court will allow them to go after, gun control or get rid of guns. I just don't, because the Supreme Court has pretty much ruled in the various rulings over the past couple of years. I never thought I would be on TV defend on radio defending with guns.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm just.
Well, it's a very complicated issue because you have one feeling on one side. They want all guns taken away, but I guess the police and the criminals would then be the only people that had guns, right?
Right.
Because it doesn't matter what kind of background check. People that want to get a gun are going to get it.
Right, right.
So what are you going to do? And it seems to be a mental illness type of problem because these people have to be whacked out in order to go out and.
I agree.
It's very sad.
I agree. And that's the piece that we want to bring forward. Like every time, if you go back to all these mass shootings, you know, the Democrats have one position and they want to limit guns. And the Republicans have the issue about mental health. And the Democrats' position is normally, well, that's not enough. But guess what? Nothing is getting done. Because if you don't address it, if you don't remove the guns on one end, and you're not addressing the mental illness on the other end, you're not doing anything. So the Democrat position is not moving the ballpark anywhere. The Republican issue, so this has been going on since, I think, Columbine happened. Like I was in elementary school, and they were having these same debates. The Democrats had, they want to take guns away. The Republicans are like, no, we're not touching guns. Let's do the mental illness. So I said that's meat in the middle, because we got to do something. Let's do the universal background checks, which 92% of the American people support. 72% of NRA members support background checks, because if you have people who have mental illnesses, who are sick, who are, you know, schizophrenic, I don't know all the different psychological terms, but if these people have mental illnesses, they should not be able to get a gun, or if they have a history of being violent, you know, I mean,
but you can't lock up every person that has a profile that might lead to that. It may or may not. A person might have a bad temper, but it doesn't mean they're going to go out and shoot anybody.
Right, right.
I mean, you can still punch somebody in the nose. I know you're not supposed to do that.
Right, but right. Well, I just did 100 miles per hour.
People are going to do it anyway.
So I can't judge.
But, and if you start to limit the people with mental illnesses, mm-hmm. then at what point do you say, okay, so what's a mental illness? Okay, if you vote for the wrong candidate, do you have a mental illness? Some people would say.
And we could be overstepping, and could lead to a witch hunt, and it would be very, very unpretty for America.
That's right.
The land of the free. So this is a really a complicated issue,
right.
As long as you have, what, over 250 million, 350 million people now in mm-hmm. America?
Right.
So, you know, there's... And these people gain fame through a terrible act.
Right, right.
Every day in the news, it seems now.
But let's just say this. If a person has been Baker Act, now it's up to Congress. It's going to be Democrats and Republicans. I'm pretty sure the position that you all are bringing forward, I'm pretty sure the Republicans will bring that position. I'm being the Democrat mm-hmm. today.
Sure, okay.
So if we can say, okay, if a person has been Baker Act for being violent, if a person say, you know what, I'm going to, They have a police report where it's proven. They said, hey, I'm going to shoot this person. I'm going to kill this person. And this is documented. It's substantiated. We can say, okay, we put you on a no gun buy list, maybe for 6 months, and then you can come off. This is Florida. This is the mm-hmm. nomad state. I'm pretty sure we can find a way to mm-hmm. to kind of maneuver this, because right now, I don't think it's cool to walk down the street and because somebody had a bad day, they spray me and I get shot in the store. I didn't do anything to you.
That part of it's really sick. I mean, there's still going to be crimes of passion.
Right.
Beyond, a person could be a stellar, you know, from a military background,
right.
be a hero,
right.
but still, for some reason, melt down beyond reason.
Right, right. But then that's the thing, too. When, as policymakers, we try to, you're never going to eliminate crime. Because you have to walk, it's a balance, freedom mm-hmm. and crime. If you want to go to zero level crime, you're going to kill all your freedom.
That's right.
So we don't want to go Soviet Union, Chinese. You know, the Chinese government, you have to be careful. Chinese government, Communist Party, got to be careful. But so that's, and the thing is, I start off the show by saying that there's a Second Amendment that is untouchable. Back in the day, when you looked at the First Amendment, there was a discussion of maybe it was just regulated to the militias. The Supreme Court says, no, the Second Amendment applies to every citizen. So you can't take the guns away, you know, off, you know, indiscriminately. Just like if you look at the First Amendment, where it says Congress shall not pass any laws respecting religion. Back in the day, that only applied to Congress. Certain states had churches. Maryland had church, had a state church. And then the Supreme Court said, no, we're going to take that regulation and take it, you know, from state, local, federal. So I'm not going to, as a Democrat, I'm not going to argue the point of taking guns away, limiting AKAs and all this stuff, because the Supreme Court is going to come right behind you and strike it down. 6-3 Republican majority in the Supreme Court. So, Marty, you can chime in. I'm trying to balance this because at the end of the day, we need to do something. I think we need to put $200 billion into mental health to treat these people. Because like if you have a person that's mentally ill and you don't have good insurance, you don't have anywhere to take them. I'm telling you, I work in health. I have a healthcare company. If you have a person with a mental illness, and unless you have money to pay out of pocket, they go in, they bake a rack for 72 hours, they're back on the street. You look at a lot of these police shootings that we're having. A lot of these people are mentally ill. If we could facilitate these people and get them off the street, you wouldn't have police run-ins. A lot of these people who the police end up shooting, and I know it's a small number, but the people who get shot by the police, you look at them, the ones that have mental illnesses, had the family members been able to get these people institutionalized and get them help, they wouldn't be on the street waving a knife and, you know, in the air, a gun deranged. And then, you know, if we fix the mental health piece, because in this country, we don't fund mental health. There's no money in it.
And you're saying that's a federal issue or a local or state?
It's state and federal, but your states are already broke.
Yeah.
And my thing is this. We're at a party right now. And Marty, you can chime in whenever. Right now, they're spending money out of yin yang. It's just money. If we're gonna all just blow up the budget, do stuff that matters.
Yeah, if it's already unconstitutional.
I mean, we just spent $8 trillion out of nowhere. So I'm just saying, 200 more billion. Let's fix everybody. Let's give people resources so they don't have to get this will get the police out of these. The police are not, in my opinion, the police should not be moderating mental illness issues. That's for social workers. But Marty, you on the line. Chime in. Marty, Darren.
It's my pleasure being a part of your program again. Are you there?
What's up, Marty? How you doing, my man?
As they say in Spanish to my Spanish friends, I used to be a retired cop. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I know a little bit about carrying guns. First of all, I want to mention that the man in Washington, who's not my president, I'm going to give him the title of capo. You know what a capo was in the concentration camps? It was the Jewish people who turned on their other people. They let them live. They sometimes wore like an armband with a star. And as far as the gun thing, I want to mention that Adolf Hitler, as well as that really nice guy, Robert Mugabe, were also into taking guns from people. Are you aware of what's happening and has been happening in South Africa, where the white farmers are being attacked, similar to their experience in Rhodesia, when the white farmers were murdered? And Rhodesia used to be the breadbasket of Africa, but the farmers were their property was taken. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you have people in South Africa, the farmers, their guns are being taken. When they want to protect themselves, laws are made that you can't possess guns.
Mm-hmm.
So now I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
We know that in Jacksonville, I don't know, Jacksonville is actually not the murder capital. I checked it out, and it's St. Louis. And also, call me number man besides history boy. Mm-hmm. But the question is, with all of the guys I imagine it's guys in Jacksonville doing the gun shootings. Are they supposed to go and say, listen, I want you to do a background check on me? What about the people who have the guns already? What about Obama when his attorney general, remember they had a program called Fast and Furious?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so mm-hmm. what about them? And I also find, I want to ask you a question. I said previously that most of the shootings in Jacksonville, it's an unfortunate thing, but it's black on black statistically, and it's a lot of gangs. Now, what if somebody said that all black people are gunmen or murderers? They couldn't do it because it's not right. Well, then why is the capo in Washington able to say that with 360 million people in this country, let's say that every year, we don't have this, every year we have 20 or 30 mass shootings. You take 30 into 360 million people, that's microscopic. They're just trying to grab our guns, and it's not right. And you make a lot of sense, so I have no fault with everything that you said. But as far as wanting to take our guns away, I believe that if you ever watch Mission Impossible, the old program where they take the mask off their face, mm-hmm. I believe that if Capo Biden took the mask off his face, it would probably be Adolf Hitler underneath there. And he's trying to do something. He's talking the other day about the limitations of the Second Amendment. That's nonsense. The Second Amendment is for us. I give credit to people like our sheriff in this county. I don't know about your sheriff. And also, you know who America's sheriff is? Grady Judd in Polk County. And they're for gun ownership. Obviously, if somebody is committing a crime, take that man's gun away, take his car away, whatever he's using to commit a crime. But don't just do this bigoted thing of saying that everybody who has a gun has to be subjected to background checks and front ground track checks, and it's a bunch of nonsense. Why doesn't the capo in Washington just say, we want your guns? And let me tell you something before I leave.
Mm-hmm.
If you do a study in a lot of the third world countries, especially in Africa, a lot of these countries who have militaries shouldn't have militaries because nobody wants to steal their coconuts and rocks that they have there. The reason why they main, what do you call it, military is to keep down their own population.
Right. Well,
okay?
But let me say this. I'm with you on the, like I said, I'm a Democrat, and I accept the country for what it is. And we have a Second Amendment. The Supreme Court has ruled that it is infallible. It applies to everybody, right? But to split the baby in half, and like I said, nothing's going to get done unless the Republicans sign on board anyway. But I believe that if we can set it up where these people, you have all these mass shootings, and you know what? If my kid went to Parkland, Sandy Hook. If that's your child, you don't care if it's one, that's your child that you'll never get back. So you can't minimize death because that's my, if one of my family members gets shot, that's one too many, right? So if you look at it that way, if you look at all those mass shootings, you always have a family member that said, we tried to get them help. Well, let's split the baby in half. Let's do the universal background checks if they have been committed, and it could be a 30-day period, 3-month period or whatever. And if a person's mother is saying, you know, my son has a mental illness, he's threatening to hurt himself, I think we're asking for it if we say, okay, well, let's not even explore that option. The Republicans are there. They're only going to allow us to go so far. But it's something we got to meet in the middle somewhere, because what happens if the Democrats figure a way to get rid of the filibuster? What happens?
Right, let me also say something else. If anybody has followed when the Russians were in Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
the Russians don't fight clean, and the Russians couldn't beat the tribesmen in Afghanistan. They used to go into caves, and I've said this before, and make their own machine guns. So if the capo is listening, you think you're going to take away Americans' guns? Anybody who has a welding machine or a lathe, you know, a lathe can make guns. You know, if you have the metal, okay? You can make your own weapons. So it's very naive to think that some feeble-minded, and not just him, but some feeble-minded and pot-bellied people like they have as the senators in Washington are going to take away the guns that we have. What about the guns that are buried?
Right.
They're so sick. I think they've been watching too many cartoons or whatever.
Yeah, but I think, too, this is what I always say. And you know a lot of stuff, and thank you, Marty, for the call. And I'm gonna take you in a minute, in a second, Darren. This is me. When you have an issue in the country, and one party doesn't address the issue, the other party owns the issue, and guess what happens? You don't like the results. On this show, we call for infrastructure spending over and over and over again. When President Trump was in office, had the Republican Party kind of listen to some of the stuff that we were saying, the election may have been different. But guess what? We're getting infrastructure now, but it's not the infrastructure we were calling for. It's infrastructure for they're saying that education is infrastructure. They're saying that going green is infrastructure. So what happens, in my opinion, in American history, even with Obama, with healthcare, the Republican Party for years blocked healthcare. And the Democrats got in and they passed healthcare, and guess what? You didn't like it. So my thing is, if I'm the ruling party, if I'm the Republican Party, and I see there's an outcry in the country, if I see that 92% of the American people are calling for background checks, it is political suicide to not do that. Because what's going to happen? The other party is going to grab that argument, they're going to beat you at the polls. And instead of asking for the background checks, you're going to lose your guns. And I'll tell you what can happen. The Democratic Party has the power. They have the power to get rid of the filibuster. They can do it. If the filibuster is going, all bets are off. They can stack the Supreme Court. They can go to 13, and guess what? Any bill they pass to take away your guns, the Supreme Court is going to say it's cool. So my thing is, let's address these sensible issues and stop allowing one party to own common sense issues. 92% is a large number. 72% of NRA members support universal background checks. So we can sit here and play this game, and the Democrats will sweep again in 2022, and then the guns will be gone for real. So I'm just saying, let's meet the baby in the middle. Let's put money on the table for mental health. Cause we do a horrible job. I have people in my family who I've had to get help, and I was fortunate to go out to spend my money. You should not have to be a well-off person to get people help, but that's the system we have because we don't fund mental health. Darren, I'll let you in, and then if we have to do overtime, that's fine. Go ahead, Darren.
Yeah, with regards to this whole conversation, I think we're missing the point of it all. Mm-hmm. Yes, gun control is a valid conversation, but every time we bring up gun control, you're just going to get two sides of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
The true problem we're facing is lack of understanding and appreciation in the value of life and the value of each other and the value of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the importance of capital punishment. If you really want to have a conversation about gun control, we need to bring back a capital punishment, because if someone goes and commits these crimes, they don't get a free ride the rest of their life and sit in a jail cell. It should be the government's responsibility to take their life. That's a biblical concept.
One question, Darren. You have people who shoot 20 people, and they shoot themselves. Hey, Darren, hang tight. We're going to pick it up on the other side of the break. But think about this. You have these people who are suicidal. They don't care. It's like Al-Qaeda. They don't care about suicide. They blow themselves up when they're trying to kill us. So the God theory don't work because they don't mind dying. And then when you have people who have mental illnesses, they're not thinking about, they don't care. A lot of these people want to be shot. So hang tight, Darren. We'll finish this on the other side of the break.
All right, we got about 30 seconds here before we get to the news. You're listening to the Brandon Groover News Hour. Brandon, we got more about the gun control issue coming up, et cetera.
Yep.
And Doug Wilder, you're hanging in with your common sense approach. And if you'd like to get in the conversation like Darren, 904-831-0600. That's 904-831-0600. We'll be right back here. Talk right. Radio, WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Biden has ordered a study of adding seats to the Supreme Court, creating a commission that will spend the next 180 days examining the incendiary political issues of expanding the court and instituting term limits for its justices. In launching the review, Biden fulfilled a campaign promise that came amid pressure from left-wing activists and Democrats to reshape the Supreme Court after its composition moved sharply to the right during President Trump's term. The House Ethics Committee has opened an investigation of Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, citing reports of sexual and other misconduct by the Florida Republican. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 297 points, the NASDAQ rose 70, the S&P 500 up by 31, crude oil down 28 cents to $59.32 a barrel. This is SRN News.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good day, I'm Adam Boardman. Jacksonville police are looking for tips after a homicide. Late last night, they arrived at the scene on Allendale Circle North and found a man's body. He'd been shot more than once. Anyone who thinks they may know something else, anything else about this, is being asked to call Crime Stoppers as soon as possible. As always, that can be done anonymously. A woman who coughed on someone will spend time behind bars. Deborah Jo Hunter was caught on video last summer at a store in Jacksonville, a video which quickly went viral and made headlines across the country. She initially pleaded not guilty to assault. After turning down three separate plea deals, the judge said he'd either be sentencing Hunter himself or the case would have to go to trial. Hunter soon switched her plea to guilty. Yesterday, she was given a 30-day prison sentence, followed by 6 months probation, plus a $500 fine. She was also ordered to attend parenting skills class and undergo treatment for anger management. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
There's some delays because of a crash on the West Beltway on I-295 northbound at the ramp to Dunn Avenue. Also, there's a broken down vehicle on I-95 southbound at the ramp to Airport Road blocking the off-ramp center lane. And there's a broken down vehicle on I-10 eastbound at Hammond Boulevard on the west side. Mostly cloudy tonight. Expect a low 60. Saturday will start the weekend mostly sunny. High 86.
Are you having difficulty paying your IRS personal or business taxes due to COVID-19? If you owe a tax debt, there has never been a better time than now to get a resolution. The IRS has rolled out historic tax debt removal guidelines under their Taxpayer Relief Initiative. This COVID-19 program provides opportunities to remove or lessen your tax burden that weren't previously available. The tax attorneys at J. David Tax Law are right here in Jacksonville and are experts at negotiating with the IRS. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. Never trust your tax situation to anyone that's not local to you. We've helped thousands of Floridians to overcome IRS and sales tax debt. Let us help you. Call J. David Tax Law today for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Tune in to AM 600 WBOB every Tuesday evening at 5 for the Tony D Means Business Show with host Tony Davis. Tony fully understands the ups and downs of being in business today. With over 25 years of experience in corporate America and as a small business owner in a variety of industries, Tony D gets it. If it's good for business, you'll hear about it on this show. If it's bad for business, you'll really hear about it on this show. The Tony D Means Business Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. right here on AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, gang, welcome back. You know, Doug and I have been knowing each other for years. And we were in this political group. We would talk with, you know, different people of different persuasions and different parties. Mm-hmm. And even back when President Obama won the second time, I was trying to always kind of warn Republicans on how to, on messaging and how to, and on governing, because the Democrats are the masters of marketing. Number one, the Democrats have Hollywood, number one. They have all the celebrities. They have all the famous people. They have all, you know, they—
news media.
They have the new— oh, I forgot about that. They have the third estate. They have the media. Mm-hmm. But, right. So, and see, my thing is this. I'm a Democrat, but I believe the country does better. I don't want to live in a country where the Democrats have all the power. I'm a business owner. So I'm with the Democrats on the, like, the civil rights stuff. I'm with them on the, you know, police reform. I'm with them on, you know, the sensible stuff. But when we go to the movement of taking away, you know, going after business owners, you know, taxes to the sky, I'm like, hey, I got to be able to, don't take my money away, Biden. You know what I'm saying? So when I come back with these solutions, I'm trying to throw the Republicans a bone. Like, hey, take this. I'm trying to keep you in the game. Mm-hmm. But the Republicans are like the Byzantine Empire. Like they have this old way of thinking. You know, and let me say this. The patriotism stuff, the love of country, the family values, I'm with all that. I always say African American. If the Republican Party did better on outreach, they could get a big chunk of the black vote. But that's another story for another. I'm gonna do that in the second segment, mm-hmm. because like on the family values, the religious values, the social stuff, the African American community is with the Republicans. But the Republicans are sometimes off message. Like President Trump, he came out the other week. I'm trying to remember what the policy was. I'm coming to you, Darren. What was the policy? President Trump was talking about, what's the big hot thing they're talking about now? Darren, go ahead. I'll bring it on the second segment. But whatever it was, I'm like, Trump, man, are you trying to win?
Reparations, yeah.
No, it wasn't reparations. It was something sensible, but he was fighting it. Hey, Darren, there's some kind of feedback on your line, but go ahead.
Yeah, with regards to the Democrats having Hollywood, they actually just have the union. And with the unions, they have the Actors Guild Union, which is one of the most powerful unions in the world, because if you go against the Actors Guild Union, they will basically boycott you, and you can't make your productions, you can't be in Hollywood, all that good stuff. But on the gun control issue, are you there?
Well, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay. On the gun control issue, I think it's Switzerland that has a function where they train people to how to use guns and responsibility. I'm sorry, I'm outside and it's loud.
We love children. We love children.
Yeah, yeah. So they have that program that they train the guys, they train people how to use the gun, proper responsibility, proper storage of the gun. Think of how many gun violence cases would have been taken away had a person properly stored their gun, because someone wouldn't have gotten, you know, Dylan, for example, back in Colorado, mm-hmm. he wouldn't have how to get the gun. Now, with
you faded out.
That was
okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
That was the Parkland shooting, particularly. That was FBI dropping the ball. That should have never happened, because they should have prevented him from getting the gun.
Corrine Brown said that at her hearing, and the judge got angry. But that's another story. But go ahead, Darren.
Yeah. So, if we just get to the place where we train people how to proper responsibility with all that stuff, mm-hmm. I think that would solve some of the problems. Mm-hmm. Now, with the mental health issue, we have to get something done. Now, they're saying, I guess, last year was the lowest suicide rate. It went down 6%, but I'm waiting to hear that revamp. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Trump was good for the country, or good for the country. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out later on.
Yep, but good point.
We're in a situation really where we don't respect one another, and if I see someone's life,
you're fading out, Darren. You're fading out. Well, on the value stuff, like I said, I've always admired the Republican Party on the family values, on the Christian values. And I'm with y'all on that. Like I always say, we sing the same verses of Amazing Grace at church. But I think we got to split the baby in the middle. 92% of the American. What country you live in where 92% of people want something? I thought it was I know we're not a democracy. I know we're a republic. But I thought we had a representative republic. When 92% of people are asking for something, isn't that kind of tyrannical?
That seemed like a lot.
The Republican Party is the party that, you know, supposed to stand up for the little guy. This is what they. I'm reading the resume. Democrats, I'm a Democrat, so I'm not doubting the Democrats, but I'm talking to the Republicans. It's an intervention. We're talking. We're having a family meeting. So I don't want the Republicans to think I'm talking down to them, but we're trying to make some common sense. If 92% of the people are asking for something and the government is ignoring it, that's tyranny. What about that considering the government stuff we talk about? Like, just think about it.
Well, there's a lot of lobbyists and lobbies and other things involved, and Republicans are very much pro Second Amendment, mm-hmm. as are a lot of Americans. So, and you know, when you talk about, I can kind of say, I've known you now how many months?
Since October.
We're going on, getting closer to that year point.
Yep.
And you're a very decent guy. Of course, when you say you're a Democrat on a station that generally holds the conservative viewpoint, it kind of isolates some of the audience. But I'm not saying that's brave. Yes, it is very brave. But in a day, and when I'm thinking about it, because you say you're a Democrat, but you're also, I would say that you're not a leftist.
I'm an old Democrat. The Democratic Party is leaving me on some stuff.
Well, what's our?
I'm trying to stay on the train. You know, it's hard.
Back when I was young, President Kennedy and that era. Being a Democrat isn't what it is today as far as the political spectrum. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have people, when you say that, just like if when people were coming out against Trump because they were mainly Democrats, mm-hmm. and namely leftists, mm-hmm. and they just didn't like anything you did. That's why I would assume President Biden started issuing these executive orders, mm-hmm. and he started giving people what they wanted in his, mm-hmm. party, and he was knocking out the border wall and all this, and, mm-hmm. and then he's got himself in a big pickle now, mm-hmm. and there's been reports they might re-examine finishing the wall.
Right.
I think he just jumped too quickly as far as everything Trump is bad.
Yeah, we warned about that, though, and remember the first show.
And I know you didn't think Trump was bad.
No,
I
didn't.
And you think that Trump has been good for the African American community, but you're exactly right. The Democratic Party has a hold. I would say, mm-hmm. you know, that don't you think you know this more than I, mm-hmm. do? That they convince people that we're on your side, but maybe they're not so genuine.
But see, the thing is, right? If your life depends on something, you're going to do everything to hold on to that, right? If the Democratic Party does not get 94% of the black vote, they can't hold on to the White House. So they have to go out, and then, like I said, then they have the media, you know, they have the news media, and President Trump didn't do himself a favor by going after the people who control your image. Like, they took him off Twitter, so if Don Lemon isn't saying it, the people isn't hearing it. So, you know, I never understood him going after the media.
Well, I mean, he had a reason for doing it, and he was probably right in many cases, but don't you think that, I think that in general, mm-hmm. the broadcast media, the print media, mm-hmm. there's an enormous ego there, mm-hmm. and they feel like some of them are very well-intended. They feel that they see all the information, and they get to dissect it, because anybody that does news, mm-hmm. and I started out doing news when I first got a radio, but I mm-hmm. wasn't really qualified to do it, mm-hmm. but all you could do is take the issue, you know, the stories, and figure out what most people might like to know about.
Right.
And unfortunately, there's more opinion.
That's what I don't like.
You know, the opinion, mm-hmm. stuff, and that's on both sides. Fox News has opinion. I mean, Tucker Carlson is not exactly a reporter. I mean, he reports on stories, but it's, you know, he's the editor, I would assume, and his staff of that particular part. But all the evening broadcasts on Fox are mostly opinion, as they are on MSNBC, and you have these programs like The View, with maybe people that aren't really qualified to talk about politics, but they do anyway.
Right.
And the American people should be more respected by broadcasting in general and the news media.
I think what we've just done, and like I said, some of this stuff, you know, President Trump, if you're listening, if you're thinking about going back in politics, come to the country club and we're going to have a talk.
Call Brandon.
Call him. I'm going to talk to you about some things because there's a lot of stuff.
I think President Trump was
he could have won.
He
shot himself in the foot a lot.
I mean, we knew he didn't like what the media was doing, but he didn't have to keep. But he just couldn't stop criticizing them, and I think that was hurting him.
But I also think too
he was making them more angry. Don't you think?
But yeah, I agree. And also
more defensive.
And also, and we're going to transition to some of the other issues. Doug's going to interview me. Mm-hmm. But back to what you were saying, AJ. Like I'm looking at President Trump. I'm like, look, you did the First Step Act, which undid a lot of the stuff that the Clinton Biden crime bill put through in '94. He did opportunity zones. Under the stimulus plan, you know, he got rid of all the documentation requirements, so that allowed a lot of African American business owners to get access to credit because in the past you have to have a 2-year track record, and the banks are sometimes biased, and we have statistics to show that. I don't want to go into the fights, but that was a strong argument to be made. But the rhetoric was turned when Trump went after the NFL players and called them SOBs. Black women hearing a white man saying SOB. Now you watch the movies; they say SOB on the movies all the time, mm-hmm. right? On those old movies,
sure.
But when President Trump was calling the football players SOBs, the black women at home heard him calling the mothers of the football players bees. First strike.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the issue with the Black Lives Matter issue, and I've said this 50 times on the show, if you're the president of the United States, it's like, let's pretend you're a parent. If your daughters are feuding, the parent doesn't get in the middle. You either come with a solution, but you don't take sides. So when you have when you have 60 million people in the street because of the George Floyd thing, and the sick part about it, Trump was the first president to bring police reform on the table. On that alone, the guy's supposed to get reelected because no Democrat could get that done. Trump had the Republican Party, the police party, talking about police reform. They had a bill that the Democrats blocked,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy to me, but another story. But the rhetoric, when they had the issue with the Confederate monuments, my thing is, you don't have to insert yourself into every issue. Some people are very passionate against those statues. I'm not debating it today. I'm not debating it today. But what I'm saying is he inserted himself into too many issues. And what the media did a masterful job of doing.
But they were ready to handle him.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
But
Trump, in his own way, he was alienating many in his own party, especially suburban women.
Yep. But you know something? His problem... He's a blessing and a curse. Number one, he's not a politician, which is good.
Yes.
But he's not a politician, which is bad.
You're exactly right.
Like what Trump didn't see, and I saw it, you had the NFL players with the Black Lives Matter movement, right? You had on the sitcoms Black Lives Matter signs. And they painted this election into a movement. And what I'm telling you, when you look at the African American community from slavery, you had slaves picketing Frederick Douglass forced this country to deal with slavery. He was a slave. This guy couldn't even vote. A non-voting black man was allied with Christian abolitionists, pushed the slavery issue. We had a civil war. It moved to civil rights. Dr. King was not able to vote, but he was smart enough. The black groups, the evangelical groups came together with the Jesus stuff. Like when black folk go to singing those hymns and marching, I'm like, hey, I'm trying to, Republicans, change is coming. So when Trump was, you know, trying to be this bulwark against this massive movement, I knew he could not overcome that water. The wall wasn't big enough. The metaphoric wall was not going to stand.
Let me ask you this, though. Mm-hmm. Sorry for interrupting.
Go ahead. I was in church. Go ahead.
But that's a wonderful place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And more of us need to be there.
Amen.
So the thing is, if the pandemic, let me ask you this, Brandon, mm-hmm. because you're a very good observer.
Mm-hmm.
If everything else was equal, whatever happened, but the pandemic had never happened, who would be president today?
Donald J. Trump.
That's probably
and, true. And I get a strategy. There are 10 million more Democrats in America than Republicans. Normally, in a presidential year, voter turnout is 50, 60%. All that stuff about Dominion voting machines and all that, no. When the Democrats used the pandemic to extend voter the absentee ballots and pretty much sending you a ballot in the mail without
voter
you
by mail.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Vote by mail. Sending you a ballot even though you didn't ask for it. They sent 10 million ballots out. So of course, if there are 10 million more Democrats in the country than Republicans, if I put a ballot in your mailbox and say just go to your mailbox, mm-hmm. of course the Democrats were going to win.
Well, I've got a question for you.
Hit me.
All right. Yeah. Last week, I got a text from an individual who was saying that she was investigating the wealth gap between black and white Americans. Mm-hmm. And she was saying that the black wealth is projected to be at zero by 2053. Mm-hmm. And so tell me, what is that about? What's going on there?
Okay, so if you look at the wealth of white Americans and black Americans, the wealth of a white American family is $170,000. The wealth of a typical black family in America is $17,000. I don't buy, and this is going to kill my ratings on the left, I don't believe that racism is the answer. I don't believe that today's racism is the answer to all of our problems. I believe history. Family wealth, right? You know, if a lot of wealth is passed down generation to generation. So if you had a group, let's make it easier. You have two children. You have one child when you pass away, you give them all the wealth. And the other child, you say, you know what, you can't get nothing. And then when that child have, you know, the same thing, family, you know, cycle. So pretty much it's common sense. If you had a group of people who were locked out of the American economic system until 1965, of course that group is going to be, you know, lacking in certain areas. And if I'm going to get to you in a second, Eric, this is the thing, in the 1960s when America opened up to African Americans, guess what happened at the same time? The liberals started locking down the economy with the regulation. If you wanted to start an oil, look at what John Rockefeller had no experience in oil and gas. But because of the lax regulation in the country, he was able to start the largest oil company on the planet. J.P. Morgan in our own lovely city of Jacksonville, Barnett Bank. One guy was able to build the largest bank in American history. You go back before that. The country was open. You could go out west. The government would give you some tools and some seeds, and they said, whatever land you side on is yours. 1965, they said, okay, black folk, you're free. But guess what? You can't go into nursing homes because you have to have $1 million to do a certificate of need. You can't start a bank. You need $8 million to start a bank. So, like, I talked to the Federal Reserve Bank last week, on the 7th. My grandmother's birthday, by the way. And we had this conversation. And I told them, like, the racism stuff, I don't really care about it. I don't care what you feel about me in your heart. Not you all. You're my brothers. But if a person doesn't like black people, I don't care about what you feel about me. Mm-hmm. That just motivates me to do better. Like, even when those Confederate statues were downtown by my office, I would pass the Confederate monument every day, wave at it, and go make my money. You know what I'm saying? That motivates me. Like, I'm weird. Like, if somebody, that motivates me. So the touchy-feely and all that kumbaya, I want us to get along with it. But I'm not mourning because somebody doesn't like me. I don't care about that. But what we need to do as in this country is figure out a way to go back to the old capitalism where people could
start a business. Sure.
But Eric, come on in, my man.
Hey, fellas, you hear me okay?
We got you loud. What's up?
All right, check it out. I've been black for 55 years. Love being black. Been American, born here in America. Love being an American.
Mm-hmm.
I teach school, been teaching school for about two decades. I'm going to tell you what I know about it. My my dad's a college professor. My mom was a college professor. Mm-hmm. U of M. I know that it's not a black thing, a white thing. It's a culture thing because if you go to colleges, you will see that the highest performing, some of the highest performing students in the United States are not from Nigeria and Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, the black people from Ghana and Nigeria, if you look it up, make more on average than the average white person.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was about black people, these people, and they're blacker than all of us, if it was about black people, they wouldn't have what they have. So it's not about black people. It's about education. And I know because I hate to say it, but the kids that acting up and the kids that getting kicked out, they all African-American. The kids that's acting up in school, the ones I can't handle, they all African-American.
Hey, Eric, one second. I'm going to let you finish. We had a segment on this show where we talked about in the 1960s when with the government programs, before HUD and all this stuff, and I believe that people need decent housing. I'm not saying that I'm against housing. I'm not, because I grew up in public housing, so I'm not going to knock public housing. But there were policies in there that said, you know what, the women can come, but the man can't come. So I believe if you look at that policy, that kind of explains kind of what you see in some of those urban areas. But go ahead.
I'm a firm believer that black absentee fathers is more of an issue than white racism. But check this out.
Mm-hmm.
I've had Nigerian students. I've had students from Ghana. I've had other immigrant students of African descent. They don't get kicked out of school. They don't get suspended. They get their grades, and their grades are A's and B's.
Okay, question. You go to Ghana and Nigeria, you have underclass there as well. So, and I also, if you look at those people come over here on visas. So, you know, you can't really compare. I mean, I get your point in theory.
I think what Eric is saying is it's not genetics, it's cultural.
But I'm not a hypocrite. So what I say off the air, I said on air. I'm getting what you're saying, but
because you keep cutting me off.
I'm done.
Listen. Let me finish.
Listen, we only got how many seconds we got, AJ?
About 90 seconds.
We got 90 seconds. What, can you say it in 30 seconds so I can end my show?
Yeah. I'm saying that it's about education. And if you educate people, black African Americans can perform as well as anybody else, but we don't take education seriously enough. And you can tell that by the students.
Okay, that's. Call back. We can finish this next week because I'm got to close out. But I get your point, and you didn't get my point because you. I hate when people. I don't like when people finish my statement. Can you cut the music down some, AJ? Can you cut the music down a little bit? What I was going to say, I get that piece. But if you go to all these other countries, you go to China. Every child in China isn't a straight A student. They come over here on visas. You're not competing with the average Chinese that comes. That's the point I was trying to make. You're not going to deal with the education piece until you deal with the father piece. That's the point I was trying to make. I'm not going to sit here on the air and badmouth you have to avoid stereotypes. So I try to bob and weave from those. I don't do white stereotypes. I don't do black stereotypes. So let's try to fix the, we're about solutions. Let's try to figure out how we can address those issues that Eric highlighted. And you're going to have to reform government policies. That's the point I was trying to make.
It's a good point.
Catch y'all next week.